What I want to try to do this morning is take the subject for today, this the beginning of Holy Week, and to try to make it relevant or bring some relevance into our current times, the things that we're going through now, the anxieties that people feel, a world gripped with fear, paralyzed by a virus. So we'd like to look at lessons in the midst of this reading of this passion of Jesus and what he suffered. As I shared last week, although the world is gripped with fear, we are called, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we talked last week how the mind is the battleground, the way we think. And we are transformed by changing the way we think from the way the world thinks to the way that God thinks. Now, a great example of this is given to us in the scriptures we just read, the passion of our Lord, the suffering and the death of Jesus. And we ask the question, how could Jesus have gotten through all the various kinds of suffering that he endured? He not only endured the physical pain, being beaten, being hit, he appeared suffered the humiliation of being spit upon, being jeered, being ridiculed, being stripped, being abandoned by his own disciples, being denied by Peter. Perhaps the greatest of all, in the midst of his time on the cross, to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That at that moment, when he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, he experienced separation from his Father. I believe the greatest of the sufferings of this whole time. And so we again ask the question, how could Jesus have gotten through all the various kinds of suffering that he endured? Yes, Jesus is fully God. And we might think, well, of course he could do it because he's God and he knows what's going to happen. But Jesus is also fully human. And thus, Jesus suffered. Jesus really suffered as a human, experiencing pain, betrayal, humiliation. Well, one reason that Jesus was able to get through this is because of what Jesus knew, what he kept in his mind. We're told in John chapter 13, verse 3, when Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. He knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. I think this is an important lesson for us. We know where we have come from. We have come from being lost to being found. We have come from being broken to being made whole. We have come from deserving death to being given the gift of eternal life. So we also know where we are going, and we must keep this in mind, where we have come from and where we are going. Whatever we're experiencing now in this world and in our own lives is only temporary. It's not going to last forever. One day Jesus will return for us individually or for the world, and all evil will be done away with. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more evil. And so we keep that in mind, knowing where we've come from, and one day where we will go. And so we learn from Jesus and from Paul and his writings how important it is for us to keep in mind the truths and the promises of God that are revealed to us in Holy Scripture. One of those, I think, is very powerful, is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which tells us, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability. I think many people quote this scripture verse. It's their favorite. God will not let you be tested beyond your ability. But they stop there and they don't go on to the rest of the verse, which is the most important part. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability, but with the temptation, the testing, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So with the testing, he provides a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. This way of escape comes in many forms, but one way is that God has given us his scriptures to set our minds on, to meditate on, to hold on to with all our might. Some of those scriptures that have been very important in my life, one is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Redeemed means I bought you back. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Another is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare or peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I found in my own life, and I think others have as well, sometimes in order to get to that point of truly seeking God with all my heart, that those moments come in the midst of testing and trials. Another one is from Psalm 139, verse 16. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Much of the fear that people are experiencing today is not just the fear of suffering, but also the fear of death. I find it greatly reassuring to know, as the scriptures reveal, that when I was being formed in my mother's womb, God had written in his book every day of my life before there was even one of them. And so the day of my death is determined by God and by God alone. In Jesus Christ, walking by the Spirit, I will not die before my time. I find great comfort in that. Another is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Finally, Philippians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is the point, that we set our mind on these things, the promises of God, and we are comforted and given peace. One of the prayers we have in our prayer book for the second Sunday of Advent is this, which I think is very insightful. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful prayer, perhaps one of the most beautiful in all of the prayer book. Along these very same lines about transforming our being by not being conformed to this world, but the transformation of our mind by setting our minds on the promises of God, the things of God, I was listening to a teaching this week by David Jeremiah, a great teacher, and he was saying this very same thing about these troubled times, how important it is to keep our minds on the things of God and on his word. And one of the quotes that he gave perhaps sums it all up better than any other, is from Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. How beautiful that is. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Also reflecting another thing in this teaching from David Jeremiah that I thought was just very insightful was a definition of anxiety. He said he had heard this from someone else. Anxiety is imagining the future without Christ. Anxiety, imagining the future without Christ. What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my investments? What's going to happen to my loved ones? And we are fearful. And our imagination goes wild and we look ahead thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to deal with this? Imagining the future without realizing the presence of Christ. Another thing I found very insightful is a teaching from Tim Keller. Something that he said was helpful to him in a time of fear and anxiety was someone had shared with him that many times our anxiety now is because our imagination takes us into the future and we have a sense like, oh my goodness, the way I am now, if I have to confront that in the future, there's no way I'm going to be able to handle that. And what someone told Tim Keller is that God gives us grace when we need it. And so what I'm experiencing now in terms of the power and the grace of God is not what I'm going to have when this trial comes upon me. But when the time comes and the trial comes, God's going to give me more grace and more strength when I need it, and not before. So I think oftentimes we are fearful and anxious because we have a sense that how I am now is how I'm going to have to face the future. What a great definition. Anxiety. Imagining the future without Christ. And so as we look at the example of Jesus, as we contemplate the things this week, this holy week, how much and in what varieties of ways Jesus suffered for us, and then to contemplate our own suffering in our own lives and in the world around us, and to realize that when God does allow these things to happen, he always gives us a way out. And one of those that's most important is to keep our minds on the things of God, to keep our minds on his promises. So I encourage you, either through the anxieties of what's going on in the world or what's happening in your own life, find your scripture passage. Find your verse in the Bible that God has said, this one is for you for this time. And then hold on to it. Make it the anchor of your life. And the peace of God will be with you. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. The best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, in the midst of these times of anxiety, fear, worry, help us, Lord God, to set our minds on you, on the promises of your word, that we would not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, by dwelling on your promises and your word. So Lord, lead us into your word. Help us to find that particular passage that is just for us in this time of trouble. And give us that faith, Lord, to put our trust in you wholly, completely, without reservation. And we do all this because of he who suffered and died for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.